Roseanne is coming back to TV, but how have American families changed since 1988?
Money-saving tips from the savvy reporters at MarketWatch.com. This is Money, Markets, and More.
I'm Katie Hill.
I'm Quentin Futrell. You're listening to Money, Markets, and More, where we talk about the most fascinating personal finance stories of the week. This is sort of fascinating to me.
This is one of the best pieces on MarketWatch I've read in a week or so.
Yeah,
it's great.
I have to say I edited this piece, and I read it again for this studio broadcast, and I have to say I enjoyed it just my second time around.
How did you enjoy the show the first time around?
Loved it.
I loved it too. It was one
Roseanne,
of my favorite shows.
It was such a clever show. It showed, like, really tackled some really good issues.
With class and...
Class,
yeah.
And money and families, and it was a really groundbreaking show.
Agreed.
At the time. Because, you know, American TV, a lot of it, we got a lot of it growing up in Ireland, was always like really rich people.
Yeah.
Just like
which
these ridiculously
fun,
rich
yeah.
lives
yeah.
all the time,
yeah.
like Different Strokes and Silver Spoons and all those, all
Fresh
of the nighttime soaps,
and,
you know,
yeah.
they were all like rich families. It's a very good advertisement for America, but not entirely accurate one. And Roseanne
right.
really changed that.
When she's working in a factory and then, you know, I think what did Dan do? He did drywall or something.
He was a drywall, yeah. Guy. So we have Jacob Passy, who wrote the story. Jacob, you saw that Roseanne was coming back to television. It's going to be broadcast next year, which is 30 years after?
Yeah, 30 years after it first premiered, basically. Yeah.
That's amazing. That's scary.
Oh,
and
I feel
amazing.
Old.
And it went off the air in 1997, I believe.
Wow. So you're a millennial, so must have seen this in reruns.
Yeah, I watched
like
this
me.
On Nick at Night.
Just like
Yeah, no, I didn't.
Nick at Night, that's where I saw it, Jacob.
So that was my exposure to the show. Although I think I did watch a few of the episodes when they originally aired when I was little. But I mean, my conception of the show was very much in reruns.
Well, you did a whole like an analysis of the different issues and the different economic measures of the Connors family, Roseanne and Dan, who was a drywaller, and Roseanne worked. She worked in a factory, and then she set up her own restaurant. So what did you find out about their occupations, first of all?
Well, I found out about when it comes to drywall installers, things haven't gotten a whole lot better, per se. You know, when you adjust for inflation, wages for them are actually down.
Wow.
From when the show, from when there was data first available, which I believe was in the 90s that I could find, and today. So, and I mean, they didn't exactly also depict it as if he was making a ton of money. I mean, I think in later seasons, he eventually took on some side work as a mechanic, to add some income. And, you know, that's something that folks who are in that line of business today would have to do. And that's not even taking into account the fact that we just went through a pretty significant housing-related crisis, financial crisis. And so, you know, even now, home construction is not where it used to be. So it'd probably be harder to find work as a drywall installer today than back before the housing crisis.
And she was a factory worker, right?
Yeah,
so
she was a factory.
That must be even worse. You know,
I mean, the first season, she was a factory worker. And then eventually she and other factory workers at the factory that they depicted on the show left. And then she worked various odd jobs. And eventually she opened her own small business. She and her mom and her sister and a friend, they all together opened up a restaurant.
She'd have to move to Asia if she wanted to work in a factory today, right?
Yeah, I mean, those jobs just don't really exist. And where they do exist, they're very frequently not unionized today. The power of unions has gone down.
Right.
And so that obviously leads to different issues related to pay and benefits and stuff like that. And, you know, this show took place in you know, the Rust Belt. I mean, this very much captured what life was like back then, and it'll be interesting to see what they do today when, you know, that was so much the focus of, like,
right.
this last presidential election was how these towns, these factory towns, were so heavily impacted by globalization and by the movement of these jobs overseas.
Right. And you say it was set in Indiana. It wasn't set in Hollywood. It wasn't set in New York. It wasn't set in all of these places that people like to see.
Yeah, it was set – I think it was actually set in –
Illinois,
but the home that was used for the exterior shots, actually still exists today,
was in
Lanford, right?
Yeah,
the fake town was, is that
it was
right?
A fake town of Lanford, which they placed in various parts of Illinois throughout the show. But I mean, generally speaking, I think it was supposed to be kind of an exurb or suburb of Chicago, more or less.
And you say in your story that the actual house. Well, you say that the property market in Illinois was had one of the largest foreclosure inventories during the Great Recession, but also that the Indiana property that was used for exterior shots went up for sale in 2013 for $129,000, but is now only estimated at $80,374. Wow. So that shows you there hasn't been this lack of progress there too.
Yeah, the Midwest hasn't really seen the same sort of resurge in home prices that other parts of the country have, like the Southeast, Southwest, West Coast. I mean, I think things by and large are still better than they were in 2006. I think that's true for the most part for the housing market, but prices have been slower to go up. And obviously, you know, home prices are also based on the towns where the homes are located.
Sure.
So if you're in a factory town that's run down, that'll impact things.
So we have Sherry Lincoln on the line, who is a professor of English and American Studies at Georgetown University in Washington, D.C. Sherry, what do you make of all of this?
Well, it seems to me a really good time for Roseanne to be coming back. All of the kinds of economic declines that you're talking about have made things even worse over time for working class families like the Connors. So I think there's a lot of people who will be watching to get a glimpse of what their lives are like. You know, one of the things that people said about Roseanne in the 1980s and 90s was how realistic it was in depicting a part of American society that we don't see very much. So I think the expectations are high that they'll give us another glimpse into that. And what does that economic struggle look like today?
And the family in Roseanne, you mentioned, Jacob, she was it premiered during the Reagan administration, and she was very critical. You mentioned a scene where a politician comes to the front door, and she says, so they're going to dump the union so they can come here and hire us at scab wages. But today, the real Roseanne Barr, and it may not be reflected in the fictional Roseanne Connors, the real Roseanne Barr supports Trump, like many Midwestern white blue-collar workers.
Yeah, I mean, she, you know, it's hard to say how much she supports Trump versus supporting herself. She's famously said that from here on out, she's going to vote for herself in every presidential election. And she has run as a third party candidate before. But she was very much not supportive of Hillary Clinton. I think her political views in a large way do kind of reflect what we saw in this past election across parts of the country that are you know, still reeling from the downturn of factory work and stuff like that. The question I think remains, will there be, both in real American society and on the TV show, will there be some sort of response to Trump's policies from these people who are supportive of him as a presidential candidate?
Interesting to see. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
For a new podcast experience, subscribe to the Future of Everything podcast from The Wall Street Journal. Now on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play Music. The Wall Street Journal. Listen ambitiously.
And we're back talking about Roseanne's return to television in 2018 and how life has changed for American families, especially blue-collar American families, in 2017.
One thing that I felt like was a positive one that you highlighted here was the gender wage gap has quite improved since 1988. I'm not sure if I knew that in that short amount of time, but you said it was 66 cents on the dollar in 1988, and it's 80 cents on the dollar today. Is that right?
Yeah, no, it has improved. And I think it is important to realize that the situations are very different. You know, I mean, folks at MarketWatch have written about, you know, how the gig economy allows folks who, you know, don't have college degrees access into higher paying jobs potentially. I mean, there are ways to work around, you know, the economic problems that folks in blue collar jobs may face today, and sorts of jobs that didn't necessarily exist years ago.
Sherry, What are the other areas where the Conners might be better off in 2017? Because we've spoken a lot about how maybe household income hasn't really improved when adjusted for inflation, and how the jobs in the housing industry in the Midwest has a long way to go. But what are some of the positives?
Boy, that's a tough question. I mean, I'm not even sure I buy the claim that Jacob was just making, I think it was Jacob, that they might be better off because of the gig economy. My sense is that somebody like Dan might well have seen his income fall for exactly the reasons you were talking about before, declines in the housing industry. We already saw Roseanne's effort to run a small business and see what happened with that. We know that unions have declined. And we know that a lot of the kinds of jobs that people like the Conners and their children would have taken up are, even when they exist and even when things like the gig economy are there, there's a different kind of struggle. So I think part of what the show might reveal to us is not necessarily improvement. Unfortunately, I wish I could say that I believed that there was a lot of improvement, but a different set of problems. I think the contingent economy actually presents people with different issues, because so much more of the responsibility for figuring out the work day to day and hour to hour, for that matter, really rests on workers now in ways that it didn't 30 years ago.
Right. Well, mortgage rates is a huge improvement. They were like 3.65% right last year, and they were 10.34% in 1988. So that was a huge bonus. The cost of college, however, has almost doubled since Darlene went to college. You write in your story, and consumer debt has, you know, exploded from $726 billion in 88 to $3.8 trillion today. So that shows you something about how the current economy is built, Sherry.
Exactly. Well, and it would be interesting to see how things like access to health care and the cost of health care would affect a family like the Conners. You know,
right.
I don't recall the series ever talking about whether or not they had access to health insurance.
I don't remember that.
Would be in a different position today, probably.
That would be a great topic for a new show, because it's such a hot topic.
That's
I hope
right.
They do tackle like really serious and important issues that there's a lot of strong opinions on both sides of the political spectrum.
And given that both Roseanne and Dan Conner, both of them were self-employed or ran their own businesses. I mean, you know, these are the exact type of people that Obamacare was meant to serve. And so it'll be interesting to see how they address that debate, since they would be the type of people who would be buying off of the exchange, not necessarily through an employer.
Right.
Right.
I think one of the things that will be most interesting in the new series, and I really hope they take this as an opportunity, is to look at what happened to the next generation. Because I think that's where we're seeing a lot of a shift politically, culturally, economically. You know, some of the Conners' kids went to college. What happened when they graduated? Were they able to get jobs? What kinds of things did they end up doing? So I really hope we'll see a lot of that. You know, by this time, by age, Dan and Roseanne ought to be retired. But we'll see what happens with the kids.
Culturally, I think we definitely live in a more culturally accepting society in some respects.
Yeah.
You know, they talked, big issue was marriage equality and gay relationships were a big issue.
Yeah, there were LGBT characters on the show, and Roseanne Barr has said that she made sure that there were LGBT characters on the show because her own siblings are gay, and so she wanted to include people who, like, I mean, this show was supposed to be a reflection of her life, and that
right.
was part of her life.
Right.
So it will be interesting to see how they've addressed aspects like that. But, you know, on the flip side of things, in a lot of states, it's become harder to get access to contraception and to abortion.
Right.
Another topic
right.
that was discussed when characters were pregnant on the show. Roseanne was pregnant at one point, and then her daughter at another point, and they mentioned abortion. I don't think any character received one, but I could be wrong there. But it'll be interesting to see, you know, how they deal with, you know, the different social environment that we're in today.
So marriage equality did not become legal in any U.S. state until 6 years after the last episode of Roseanne aired in 1997. That was Massachusetts. Massachusetts was the first state to introduce marriage for same-sex couples in 2003, followed by Connecticut in 2008. And I have to say, I would love to see how she would deal with trans issues, transgender issues as well. I think that would be really interesting because there's been a lot of discussion about that in the intervening years too. Sherry, any final words from you?
No, I'm looking forward to seeing what they do. I think it's perfect timing.
Me too.
I hope they're listening and listening to all the topics we want them to cover.
I'm sure. Roseanne is in Hawaii on her farm.
That's right. Pay
attention. Listening to us right now. That's all for today. We'll be back next week.
Follow the Wall Street Journal on your favorite podcast app. Search WSJ on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Google Play Music, Stitcher, and any Amazon Alexa device. The Wall Street Journal. Listen ambitiously.